God is really awesome, and he's here for that as well. You know, he doesn't get angry at us if we are feeling weak. He's a loving Father that wants to pick us up and strengthen us, speak courage to us. Just think of how I ministered to Joshua before Joshua had that awesome responsibility and task to lead the Israelites and to take them over the Jordan. And the Lord said to him, be strong and courageous. Only be strong and very courageous. And the Lord just ministered strength to him. And we see it countless times through Scripture. And the Word speaks to us today as well. The Word is very timely for us this morning because the Word is timeless. And so the other day, I realized that, not too long ago, I realized that my phone, you know, I got one of these smartphones that's not always so smart, and, you know, it sometimes goes and freezes on you, and then it started giving me more trouble by not wanting to recharge when I'd plug it in, while the charger's in, the battery still runs down. And this was, you know, rather frustrating because we've become so dependent on technology and our devices, and even my phone has become kind of like, you know, the main device that I use, and, you know, for email and just staying connected with the people around me and congregation and so on. And it's frustrating when that's your vehicle and your platform for communication and just starts failing on you. It's quite hazardous to your function and your responsibility. And, you know, I don't know about you this morning, but that just made me think, you know, just consider again, where do I get recharged, you know? Sometimes we come to that place and we just feel like our batteries are flat and we need to recharge. You know, and sometimes we realize that, hey, but we're not necessarily always running to God first to plug in and to recharge. Maybe there's a seemingly quicker fix, you know, when you need your batteries loaded again. You know, maybe it's a visit down to the pub or you know, maybe a down to the video shop and just take out some movie that looks like a, you know, maybe, I don't know, if sometimes you feel down and then the first port of call is go and get a good comedy out, and then that'll lift your spirit, you know, or maybe an escape to the gym or on the bicycle or something like that. There's nothing wrong with any of these things, but if that is where our hope rests when we're feeling low, and if that's the first port of call when we want to recharge, then we must have a serious rethink about that and just realize that it might temporarily seem to help, but in the long run, your battery's still going to run down. It's like that charger that doesn't want to work. You plug it in and the battery's still, maybe the rate at which your batteries deplete gets a bit slower, but it's still going to run down. There's only one that can truly recharge us, that can truly give us strength. Now, I'm going to show you a picture of a friend of mine. Maybe you can hit the light quickly just to appreciate. It's actually a photo that Auntie Eunice gave me of Uncle Johnny Williams of 15 years ago. You know, he was really into the gym and everything. Yeah, but no, that's not Uncle Johnny, it's Uncle Ronnie, actually. Sorry, Uncle Johnny. And Ronnie Coleman, he's a multiple Mr. Olympia. Those are the guys that want to get really big and look really strong. They are pretty strong. You don't want to mess with them. They normally weigh at around 150 kilograms, and then there's like almost zero fat on them. And he is a believer, and he believes in God, and he feels that God actually called him to this. And yeah, he's been very successful in that. And one thing that he would tell you also is that consistency is really like the name of the game. If you want to get somewhere, if you want to excel or succeed in any given endeavor, you got to remain consistent in your approach and in walking in that direction, in doing. I mean, this guy has to eat every hour or so. He's consuming a lot of chickens. I think there's a couple of chicken farms that just supply to him. so he's got to get in a lot of protein. Anyway, but it, you know, I really do admire these sportsmen that have really, you know, achieved in their lives. And I think it's very easy to become prideful and to start, you know, really kind of taking the glory for yourself and start boasting and so on. But I love the humility of so many of our sportsmen, and especially being a rugby fan myself, you know, seeing a lot of the Springbok and, you know, Stormer players, the teams that I support. I don't really watch other rugby, but when they win a man of the match, or the captain, you know, the victorious captain gives a speech or something like that, then he'll often, you know, you'll often hear the guy saying, you know, just want to thank the Lord who gave me the strength, you know, or, you know, just want to acknowledge where my strength comes from. And that's just really awesome. I'm always very humbled by that. And, you know, I pray that we can all just give God glory through our lives as well. But in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, the psalmist writes, "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." The Lord, if you're feeling weak here, if you need to recharge, who's the one who's going to help you? You know, not the barman down by the station. I don't know if he's here this morning, but I'm sure he's a good, sincere guy. But at the end of the day, he can't help you. Now, at the end of the day, I can't really help you. We can encourage each other and so on, but our first port of call, the one that we should first look to, the one who can truly help us, and the only one whose help is sustaining, is the Lord God himself. And the psalmist writes, "I look to the mountains." Now, the blinds are open sufficiently. I think if we all just cast our eyes out the windows, you'll be able to see something or part of a mountain. We're very privileged here in Franschhoek. This scripture, we can make our own. We don't need to go very far to do this. Because at the end of the day, the Bible, you've got to do the word. So if you live in a place where there are no mountains, you're kind of missing out a little bit. You're denied of this privilege. And best you drive if you're feeling a bit weak, and you go and find a mountain. And you just sit in front of that mountain and you look at it and you meditate a little bit on the greatness of our God. Because our God, the maker of heaven and earth, the psalmist says, look at the mountain. Who made that mountain? You think that mountain's big? How big is God who made that mountain? How big is he compared to your problem right now? As the commonly used phrase goes, don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big your God is. Look to the mountains. We here in Franschhoek are super privileged. We're surrounded by mountains. We see the mountains every day. And since getting here, since moving here recently, I can't look at the mountain. The mountain can't be in my eye and I not think about God. Every time I see these mountains, I think about God. And I think that's an awesome privilege that we have, because it just helps us to consider and meditate on the Lord all day. It's awesome. It doesn't need to distract you. God wants to help you in your work as well. Habakkuk 3, verse 19. The prophet says, "God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places." We all have challenges in this life. We all have mountains to summit. But the Lord is the one that will help us get there. He wants to help you. He wants to give you strength. Allow the scriptures just to minister to you this morning, just to speak strength to your spirit. God is your strength. He's the one who made you. He made your bodies to be strong. He made your bodies to be resilient and to heal when they are sick. And then he's got supernatural healing for us as well. Everyone, unbeliever and believer alike, if you were sick and you get healed, who gave you the healing? Regardless of whether someone prayed for you or not, God did. God made your body to be able to regenerate. God has He's created all of us and He's given all of us life. We belong to Him. And more so, us as believers know this. Because not only did He create us, but He also died on the cross for us. We doubly belong to God. He paid the price for us in His blood. You're not redeemed by gold or silver. Some people here this morning might be feeling, I'm worth nothing. A stack of gold compared to my life, you take the stack of gold now. God says, you are not even redeemed with gold or silver, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is the value that He's placed on your life. You are much more worth than anything this world has to offer. Your life is precious to God. And that's why our hearts go out. And when we see travesties and injustices and people being tortured and murdered and killed and even the unborn babies being aborted and these things, each of those lives are precious to the Lord. Each life is worth saving. You are precious to the Lord. Know that. And know that He's here to help you. He's here to strengthen you. And that the strength that you have in you now is also from Him. It's not your own strength. Do not rely on your own strength. Do not even begin to rely on your own understanding of these things. God's thoughts and ways, how everything works, how your body works, it's much more complex than what you can begin to imagine or understand. But just know that you're completely and utterly dependent on God. So stop trying to do things in your own strength and stop running away from Him. He wants to lift you up. He wants to strengthen you. Daniel 11, verse 32. Daniel says there, the people who know their God shall be strong. And it's a prophetic word which is very much in time for us in the days that we find ourselves in now. And he says, the people who know their God shall be strong. And they shall carry out great exploits. God is our strength. And knowing Him, you cannot know God if you're not going to Him. We heard this morning, Pam shared with us from Isaiah 55. He says, come to me. Now God doesn't readily interfere in that. He makes an invitation, but we have to come to Him. He doesn't force us. I seriously doubt anyone threatened you with a firearm this morning and told you to come to church. I don't know if there may be any teenagers here and your parents had to do that, but I'm sure they had good intentions. God invites us. He invites us to come. That is our responsibility, to come. To know Him. If you're not spending time with Him, you're not going to know Him. You're denying yourself more strength. We all need more strength. Who would like to have more strength? Well, you, me, and Ronnie Coleman would like to have more strength. Okay? We need to come to God. I just want to encourage you with some really basic truths that you can hang on to when sometimes you're feeling low and wondering, where is God in all of this? Can He help? What has He really done for me? And what is He doing for me? What are His plans for me? How do I get to where I need to go? How do I move forward from here? just a few basic truths. The first one, the next slide is Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm saying again, we are utterly dependent on God. We have not arrived yet, none of us, until the day of our Lord. Or until our life here is up and we come face to face with him, then we'll be perfected, glorified in an instant. Ultimate salvation. None of us have arrived yet. And none of us can boast in our level of understanding or maturity in God, or in anything that we have overcome as believers. None of us can boast in that, because it was all God. God started the work in us. We can't even boast in the fact that we go to church. You know, some of us like to tell people, no, but I go to church every Sunday. We can't even boast in that, because if God had not started any kind of work in us, we probably wouldn't be here today. But he will complete what he started in us. So who's doing the work there? Who began a good work in you? God. And who will complete the good work in you? Now, why do we so often try to complete in our own strength what God started in the Spirit in us? Why do we try and take over from God and say, sure, God, you're doing really great, but I think I can take it from here. I can do better. You were in charge there, the steering wheel of my life for a little while. It all got started, this relationship with you, and it was really awesome, but let me take over again. I think I know a little bit better, God. You know, I'm going to go this way. I know you kind of said to me that that's the way you want me to go, but I think, God, you know, I can fit these other things in as well, and it's going to be great. Don't worry. Trust me, God. You know. Now I want to complete what he started in me. Yeah, that's a recipe for shaping pears. Things go pear-shaped. You know what I mean? Let's watch out for that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Sanctification is a process that started when you said yes to Jesus, when you came to him the first time. It started then. It's the process of becoming holy, becoming like Christ. That's a lifelong process of sanctification. Hence the fact that none of us can point at another believer and say, ooh, you bad person, you still smoke, you still drink. You know, I've left those things long behind. You know, God did that in my life. I can't boast. God did that. God is busy sanctifying me. God is busy sanctifying my brother that might still be struggling with something or another that maybe I've had victory in. I can't point fingers as though I attained to anything. If Paul says, he doesn't act like he's attained anything, then who am I to act like I think I've attained anything? No, God alone is the judge, and God is doing the work in me and my brother. I can't boast, and I can't judge. I can't point fingers. We are not here to criticize one another or judge one another. We are here to encourage one another. Encourage each other on the journey. Your journey is not my journey. Part of God's plan for sanctifying me is for me to be used in this function that I'm busy operating in right now. If I was disobedient to that and decided, no, I want to do something else for the Lord, come up with my own idea of what I could do for him, I'd be jumping off of his path of sanctification and things would go, again, pear-shaped rather quickly. This is part of his plan for me to bring me, make me more like Jesus Christ. And his plan for you is something different or not. I don't know everyone's plans here, what God has been speaking to you and showing you. But he's got a call on each of our lives. Ronnie Coleman's call was that bodybuilding. Whatever your call is, that is part of God's plan for you to become more like Jesus. And God's going to partner with you on that road. And he's going to sanctify you, make you more holy in that process. But who, again, who is the one that's going to sanctify you? God. You know, we try and strive and do things in our own strength, and we try so hard to overcome this sin and this temptation and whatever. We try in our own strength and we wonder why it doesn't work. We're not coming to God. We're not allowing him to help us and to show us. To show us there might be a deeply rooted cause. The reason why you're stumbling in that area. Something hidden in your past. That's why it's so awesome to actually go through, you know, some of the courses that we have, the discipleship courses like Foundation 3, where you actually go and re-look at your past and the journey that got you to where you are now. And then sometimes we realize, hey, there's something that happened back there that's influencing my behavior now. If I just bring that to God and I just get healing in that area, wow, things just happen and just break free from those bad cycles. We need to come to God. He's the one that's going to sanctify us. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. Now, some of us like to say things like, ooh, I'm a spiritual person. I'm very spiritual. Now, you can be here this morning and you can be spiritual while you're sleeping and sitting in your chair during church. I'm sure we've all closed our eyes, not just during prayer in church before. You know? I know who you are. Just wake that brother next to you. No, I'm joking. You know, we can be very spiritual. You got a spirit that never sleeps. That's why sometimes you wake up in the morning, wow, and you had a bad dream, and it wasn't just like an ordinary dream. It really shook you to the core. Your spirit is awake and alive. Okay. But then you've also got your mind, your cognitive, your intellect, and then your body as well. And God wants us to serve him and worship him with all of those. So you can sleep, for instance, in church. And yes, your spirit can get ministered to. Dick Rubin is this messianic Jew that ministers. And I've sat through his teachings, are very long. And he ministers like a lot from the Old Testament, naturally. But he is a believer and he brings Jesus into it. And it seems as though I watched, you know, a video of his teaching, and it seems as though the people sleep during his teachings, a lot of people maybe, and he's, you know, he says a couple of times there, I don't mind that you're sleeping now. I don't mind it, you know. I'd rather you sleep here than in front of the TV at home. Okay, so he understands this, that your spirit is, yeah, that's fine, that's good. You see, I was awake, I heard him say that, you know. So that's why I'm allowed to wake you up if you sleep here as well. But he recognizes that your spirit is receiving 24/7. That's why we have to watch what we subject ourselves to. And And if you fall asleep with the radio on, and it's not necessarily on CCFM, because the reception, yeah, we like don't get. That's one drawback. You know, I used to enjoy CCFM and Tigerberg and so on. And I don't know if my antenna's not good enough, but you don't really get that, yeah. Okay. So if you fall asleep with some other radio station on or in front of the TV and the infomercials in the middle of the night, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some stuff there that you're going to be exposing your spirit to that's not so healthy. So watch out for that. Okay, but we need to serve the Lord with our minds as well. That's why it's good to be awake during the service, and you can actually consider and meditate on, think about the scripture. What does it mean for you? What's it telling me about God? What's it telling me about mankind? What's it telling me about myself? And then we can worship the Lord with our bodies as well. You did yesterday during the rugby, and you can today in church as well. And the Bible's full of that. And David expresses himself, and he's very physical when it comes to worship. God has given you your bodies, and everything he has given us, he wants us to use it to the glory of his name. That's why we don't just sit arms folded, and you know, we can jump for joy, we can raise our hands, we can raise a shout to the Lord, clap our hands, serve the Lord with our bodies. We are free to serve him. We are not religious, and you don't have to serve him in the same way as the guy next to you. But if you're going to clap and hold the beat, try and hold the beat, you know. Gets confusing sometimes. Okay, so maybe the band can give us some lessons and because it helps them along as well. Okay, so again, who is faithful? Who's the faithful one that will do it? God. God is the one. He has made provision for your mind as well, and for your body to come to a place of perfection. Now we know that physically our bodies, there's a time limit on that. Okay, we decided that at the fall, that okay, Eden is not going to be heaven anymore, so this earth is going to pass along with your bodies, and there's going to be a new earth and heaven one day. Right, so yeah, the body deteriorates over time, but still, got to be a good steward of it. Look after it. Look after your body. My father's got this like home testing kit now for blood pressure and sugar and all of that on doctor's orders. So if you go there now, you need to put on a brave face, because you're also going to get a prick on your finger, and then your sugar's going to get tested and everything, you know. When I was growing up, you know, it's like, Tiens, why don't you eat the fat of the chops and whatever? And I just didn't. It thrilled me a little bit, you know, that thick fat, you know. And my father's like, nom, 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 eating all of that, you know. And now he's like, why are you eating that unhealthy stuff and whatever, you know. Special diets here and there. You know, Dad's always right. So, yeah, now you get your finger pricked and you get your sugar tested, and it's like, woo, jy moet dokter toe gaan. So we got to look after our bodies. It's the first and most obvious and practical thing that God has made us stewards over. Being a steward means to manage something that belongs to someone else. And that's what God expects of us. Okay, so just one or two more. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Okay, so God created us. He has given us strength. He helps us when we are weak. He wants to give us more strength. We have an enemy that comes against us, that wants to destroy us, because we're made in the image of God, and he hates God. He can't touch God. But God loves us, and if he can touch us, then he can do something that furthers his cause. But like Dr. Carner said once, he believes, and I agree with him, that the man of God is indestructible until His purpose is fulfilled in this life, until His calling is fulfilled. Provided you don't open doors to the enemy to get at you or whatever. We're all going to die one day. That's a reality. We're all born. We're all going to die. Somewhere in between, God is going to sufficiently reveal Himself to us so that we can make a choice for Him. That is true for every single person on this planet. Whether you live in a Christian community or alone on a desert island, that is true for you. Each one of us have a specific purpose in this life, other than being conformed to the image of Christ, which we all are called to do. Each of us has a specific purpose. And if you're a child of God, you are indestructible. The enemy cannot touch you until your calling is fulfilled in this life, unless you open a door to Him through unforgiveness, soul ties, generational curses, or deliberate unrepented sin. Okay, that's a talk for another day. Open doors. But otherwise, you're indestructible. So we're all going to come to an end sometime. Now, many Christians are getting martyred today. In the last 100 years, more Christians have been martyred than in the previous 1,900 and put together. Okay, so that's on the increase. Now, a Christian that gets martyred and has stayed true to the Lord for their whole life, well, I think that's the greatest honor. And I trust God that if that's ever asked of me, that I would have the strength to go through with that. Okay, so the enemy does want to destroy us. And he can get at us if we open a door or if our purpose is finished. And then that would just be an honor to go in the name of the Lord. Other than that, culprit number one is the one that you see when you look in the mirror, in terms of tough things that come your way and pain and suffering. It's mostly because we make wrong choices. Okay. The enemy, all he can do is like the toothless one. He can just tempt you. Maybe if you don't have an open door in your life, he can just tempt you. He can't hurt you, but he can entice you to do the wrong thing, which will open up your life to pain, because all sin leads to destruction and hurt and for yourself and people around you. So he can tempt you to sin. To sin means to miss the mark, to go outside of God's will and His plan for your life. So there's sins of commission, where you go and do something bad, and sins of omission, where you don't do what God has asked you to do. That's all the same, boils down to the same thing. All sin is destructive and will eventually lead to death. Now, the enemy can only tempt you to sin. You make the choice to go ahead with it. But how good is God in His sovereignty? He has put a clause in there. He has put a safety net there for every believer. Because we will all be tempted. There will be something that appeals to a fleshly desire within you. It's like if you're on a special diet and you come to a birthday party and there's the cake of your dreams. In my case, it would be ice cream cake. And I've had that on my birthday twice. Ice cream cake. It is the best. Okay. And if I'm fasting or something and then someone puts an ice cream cake in front of me, it would be tempting to break my fast ahead of time. Okay. It appeals to something in my flesh. Okay, but I still have a choice to say no to that. I still have a choice to say no and walk away. It would be foolish of me to stand by the table and look at that ice cream, you know, because I'm going to gravitate towards it. The best thing would be to walk away. Do you agree with me? My wife is so good. When I fast, she made a choice not to eat in front of me. I don't mind. I can sit there. I'm not always that easily tempted by food and stuff. It's not ice cream cake, you know, that we're eating every day. So, you know. What's that? or we're not having ice cream and biltong for lunch. And so, you know, I can resist the others. And I could sit there by the table. But she made the choice. I think it's very gracious of her not to eat in front of me if I'm fasting. And but the wise thing would be to, if you're tempted, to walk away. Paul says, flee youthful lusts. Run the other way. Don't toe the line and see how close you can get without actually, you know, don't play games with the devil. He's been doing this for 6,000 odd years. He knows how to trip you up. You in your own strength cannot beat the devil. And what did God say? Did God say you must try? Did he say you must toe the line? No, he said you must run the other way, so do that. Save yourself the embarrassment, because you're going to trip up and fall. But how good is God? He will not allow the devil to tempt you beyond what you're able to resist. But he will make the way of escape. He will show you the open door and say, go. Laat hierdie mense die roomys koek eet. Gat jy aan die kant toe. Okay. There's a lovely glass of ice cold water waiting for you in the fridge. All right. God is so good. Again, you can see God is protecting us all the way. He's got the strength for you. He protects you. The devil can't touch you if you stay in God's will. And the next scripture, 1 John 1 verse 9, if you do happen to fall, you were a bit silly because, I mean, to sin is silly, so let's just say it as it is. And you've sinned, you had that piece of ice cream, and you know that God wanted you to fast a bit longer and to pray into something, and you kind of just gave it up for a piece of ice cream cake. And what then? Are you out of God's good books and, you know, he's going to ignore you for a day or two? No. God is not like we sometimes are with each other. He's not like that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will give you, in golf, they call it a mulligan. VIP is not here to bear me out. But it's a do-over. Clean slate. Start again. God is the God of the second chance. He's awesome. So if you do sin, how good is God? He promises to forgive you. And when God forgives, he chooses to forget. He does not hold it against you. It's like it never happened to him. He's faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But again, we have to come to him. We have to come and confess our sin. There's also an aspect of brotherhood in there where we help each other. We walk a road with each other. We pray with each other. We confess our sins to each other. We don't have a confessional booth here because it's not necessary. Because you've got a friend here that you can pull aside. You can meet for coffee in the week and say, hey, you know, I've been struggling with this thing. Please just agree with me in prayer for that. Agreement's powerful. And I just want to bring it into the light because the power of sin lies in its secrecy. As long as no one knows about it except you, the enemy cons you into thinking that it's okay and you can carry on with it. It's not really hurting anyone. That's a lie. It's going to destroy you and affect the people around you. Okay. Confess. Take a brother that you trust. Pray with them. And please, let's keep it confidential. If someone has prayed with us about something sensitive or whatever, we're not Seven de Laan Christians. We don't go around and gossip and tell the next guy, wow, let's be spiritual. Let's pray for Yanni because he's struggling with this and this and this and this. You know? And we say it in prayer, you know, because that's spiritual. No, you actually just gossiped in the name of Jesus. I think that's one of the common sins that we as Christians commit these days is the sin of gossip and slander. It's backstabbing. It's wrong. Okay, last scripture. Philippians 2, verse 13. So maybe you're not boasting in the fact that you've overcome, you know, the smoking habit or, you know, kind of the flirting or, you know, lusting after others. Maybe you're boasting in that, you know, even just to yourself, thinking, wow, you know, I'm actually not such a bad person. You know, because I think a lot about pure and holy things. Let me tell you, not even that is all you. It's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God works in you the desire to do good things. When you came to Jesus, you got a new nature, a propensity towards holiness. He brought you into a new, onto a new path. He gave you a new direction to go in. That direction is to follow Jesus and to become more like Jesus. Before that, your propensity was towards sin. You've got a new nature now. A new nature. Paul even says, sometimes I still do the things that I hate. Because now he loves God. He loves the things of God. He loves doing God's will. But sometimes he still sins and does the things that he hates. Before he knew God, he loved to persecute the Christians. You know, which is an awful thing to do. But now he loves to do good things, but he still finds himself sometimes doing bad things. So God has given us a new nature. The good things that you want to do, the good desires in your heart, that's God birthed that in you. So do you see that God has done everything? He is in control of our lives if we have said yes to Jesus and we love him. He's in control of our lives. And I want to tell you that you don't have to worry. You will make it. Just stay close to Jesus. We need to hold fast onto him. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the author. He wrote it all from start to finish. He wrote the book. It is finished. The Bible, it is complete. We know how it's going to end. And we are there in the end. We are with him, worshiping the Lamb who was slain, singing with the angels, holy, holy, holy. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. He began it and he will complete it. God is good. He's holding you together. He holds everything in the universe together. Through his spoken word, the power of his word, he has created everything and he sustains everything. He sustains life in the wild around us. Not one sparrow falls to the ground that he doesn't know about. How much more precious are you to him than sparrows? Because the blood of Jesus wasn't shed for sparrows. It was shed for you and me. You are precious to the Lord. God knows every tear you've cried. He knows your pain. He knows your life. He wants to do something about it. But he comes by invitation. He doesn't force himself on us. What good would it be? What kind of a God would he be if he forced us in a relationship with him? We see how the enemy does things. You know, you get Muslims that intermarry with Christians. The Christian girls are brought to them and they're forced into marriage with them. So that's how the enemy works. There is a picture. Because biblically, marriage is a picture of God's love toward us. We are his bride. And he's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to get ready. Because he's coming back for a spotless bride. But he wants us to choose him. He loves us already. Us that love him, we only love him because he loved us first. He's waiting for us. He invites us into a relationship with him. And that relationship, God, how he views relationship, it's called covenant. It means forever, until death. Now Jesus already died that death once for all of us. So for us that have said yes, we're in covenant with Jesus, and now it is life eternal. So this death on earth for us no longer means death, no longer means the end like it does for some unbelievers. They think death is the end and then nothing. That's what they think. For us, death is a doorway. just passing on to an eternal, amazing existence with God. Eternal life with Him. Covenant. Jesus did it on our behalf. He cut covenant on our behalf. Covenant, the sign of covenant, and its seal is the blood, and it's His blood that was spilt. You have not resisted yet against sin to the point of bloodshed. Jesus already gave His blood for us. He made provision for us at the cross to enjoy abundant life, to enjoy fullness of life, here on earth even. We can even rejoice in suffering, knowing that the Lord is with us. He says He's with you. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you're feeling weak here today, if you're feeling depressed or down, like you're at the end of your faith or the end of your strength, just know this. God has never left your side. He's with you. And He's extending His hand to help you, to give you strength, to lift you up. He's done it before for you, and He will do it again. He'll be with you to the end, to the end. Everything that is good in us, God has done it. God has done it. Every good and holy thought, God gave that to us. He's faithful. If we go and meditate on those scriptures and we look back on our life, our journey, we will see that God was with us every day. From before we knew Him, He was with us already. And then we said yes to Him at some point. Maybe it wasn't even the first time that He asked us, but we said yes to Him at some point. And then we can really start writing that book of everything, because now we're aware more and more of the things that God is doing in our lives. God is doing awesome things in our lives every day. He's protecting you from the enemy. And then even if we fall, He's there to pick us up. He's your protector. He's your deliverer. He's your provider. He's the one that wants to give us strength today. I just want to pray for us this morning. Let's just bow our heads. I want to pray especially if you, as we've said, if you're feeling weak here today, you need strength. You need a boost. You need to recharge. And I just want to say, there's a lot of things that we can do that make us feel better for a while, but ultimately we need God to give us new strength. So I just want you to, no one's looking around, I just want an indication if is there anyone here that feels that way? I just want to pray for us. Just raise your hand if you need strength this morning. Okay, there's a few hands going up. Father, I just want to thank You for each one of Your precious children here today, Lord God. And thank You that we can all declare that You are our strength. And for those, Lord, that this morning feel that they need a strengthening from You, Lord. They are feeling weak this morning. They're feeling at the end this morning, Father. Or just a bit low and heavily laden. I ask, God, that You will impart to them right now just new strength and courage. You say to them, be strong and courageous, Lord, because You are with them, God. Be strong and courageous. Receive now strength and courage from our God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Receive strength from Him this morning in Jesus' name. Thank You, God. And then for those this morning that you just realize now that you've really been trying to do a lot of things for God in your own strength. Or you feel like you're trying to overcome a challenge, you're trying to break out of a cycle that's just so destructive in your life, and you're trying it, and you're trying, and you've done everything you can, and you're still stuck there, and you've been striving in your own strength. Maybe you haven't come to God to ask Him for help because you felt like you're not worthy. Somehow you're inadequate. You don't measure up. Well, I just want to say that's a lie. Jesus already said you are worthy. He shed His blood for you at the cross. And He doesn't want you to do these things in your own strength. He wants you to stop trying yourself that you'll invite him to come and help you, and that you'll invite him to show you what to do, and that you'll allow him to strengthen you for that. He's going to do it. He just wants you to come to him. So if there's anyone and you just feel you're in that place where you're just trying and trying in your own strength and you're not getting breakthrough, and you want God to come and help you. You're sick of striving and you want Jesus to come in and help you, just raise your hand. You're just doing it in your own strength. There's a couple people here. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father, I just thank you that I can bring these brothers and sisters before you, Lord God, and they just find themselves struggling, Lord, and not being able to break through. Father, they've been doing these things in their own strength and ability, relying on their own abilities, God. And Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God, that you invite them this morning just to come to you, Lord. Just to come and first to receive comfort from you, Lord. Lord, that you're not angry at them. You have not rejected them. You welcome them to come to you, to obtain help in time of need. Lord, you know that we are weak. It is not, we don't have to be ashamed or embarrassed about our weakness. For your strength, Lord, your strength is made perfect in our weakness. It's through our weakness that you show yourself strong. So God, thank you that you invite the weak to come to you, Lord. And this morning you invite those, Lord God, that have been struggling in their own strength and not getting that breakthrough. You invite them, and I thank you, God, that you are faithful and true, and that you will help them and lead them, and that you even speak comfort to them and show them how much you love them, God, and that you are there for them and they don't have to feel ashamed. Thank you, Lord. And then just finally, I want to pray for anyone here that is feeling distant from the Lord right now. Maybe this God that I've spoken of this morning is not what you have understood about God. The God in your mind is one who is far away, is one who judges, is one who punishes. That is not our God. Our God is present. Our God is here. Our God loves. Our God forgives. Our God helps. Our God strengthens. If you have not met that God, if you are not in relationship with Jesus Christ, because that is who he is, then I want to invite you to pray with me. If that's something that you know you need to do, I want you to consider to take that very seriously and not to walk out of this door before we haven't prayed together. So I want you to come to me after the service then. And I want to pray with you here in front. When everyone else is walking out, I want you to come and pray with me, okay? And to introduce you to Jesus Christ, the love of your soul. Father, we want to thank you for this time spent this morning. I want to thank you, Lord, for just encouraging us through your scriptures, Father. Thank you, Lord God, that you love each and every one of us so much. Lord, I just speak a blessing over each one here. Thank you, Lord God, that you go before us. There's nothing that will come across our path this week that you do not already know about. No matter what challenge comes our way, Lord, you have the answer, and Jesus, you are the answer. Thank you, Lord, that we can just commit our lives to you, and we just give you this week, and we ask, be glorified through our lives. Lord, let your kingdom come, and let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.